And amen, ladies. Thank you. You know, some things have already happened this morning. A lot of folks taught and sat and listened in Sunday school. Brother Rick preached to a bunch of folks, a really good group at the nursing home. Brother Chris preached to a really good group in the jails. And now it is our turn and our time to hear from the Word of God. Aren't you glad you're not in a nursing home or a jail? Amen. So be thankful for that. And so in that vein, I want you to look. Very familiar, although I have to say oftentimes a misapplied text, right here in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 6, verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein. And ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Now, the reason why we said a moment ago this text is often misapplied is that a lot of preachers, you know, they talk about going back to the old paths, but they always do so in terms of nostalgia and, you know, culture. There are old paths conferences that happen every year in this country. There's an old paths publication, and of course, there are tons of old paths sermons, which is great until they start, you know, talking about sawdust trails and hard pews and funeral home fans or the Southern Gospel or sawmill gravy or milking the cow. I'm telling you, when I was a teenager in Bible college, any guest preacher we had who spoke on Jeremiah 6, every one of them, it seems, said, I grew up on a farm and I had to get up at 5 a.m. and milk the cows. And that's the old paths we got to get back to. Well, I wanted the anointing, so I'm looking for a cow to milk or whatever, if that's the clue. And by the way, it's not wrong. I'm not saying is it all wrong that we could help save a generation of youth in America if we could get them out of their dark rooms and on a farm for 10 years, that's for sure. But that's not. That is not the old paths that Jeremiah is talking about. Jeremiah is not lamenting that preachers don't wear three-piece polyester suits or overalls anymore. In fact, you ever notice when churches have an old-fashioned Sunday. How many of you remember going to an old-fashioned Sunday at your church back in the day? Yeah, a lot of folks did that and do that. Still, we did it. But it's interesting, they always go back to the same narrow time period. In other words, it's old-fashioned for them. So it's old-time religion, but you know what? It's not nearly old enough. I mean, nobody shows up on old-fashioned Sunday and they're dressed like the apostles or Jeremiah or Moses. Old-fashioned Sunday doesn't have the chariot from Acts chapter 8. It's always a Model T. Or it's always a Chevy Bel Air or whatever, 55. So what exactly then is Jeremiah talking about? Because you know what always seems to get lost in all of those old paths of sermon? It is the fact that our Lord Jesus Christ quoted this very text in Matthew chapter 11. You see that phrase right there, quote, ye shall find rest for your souls. You know that exact promise is only found here once in all of the Old Testament. And yet, our Lord repeated it verbatim. Word for word when he said, take my yoke upon you and ye shall find rest for your souls. You see, folks, remember this. Remember that the literal old paths that Jeremiah is borrowing from were ancient trade routes. They were caravan trails where animals carried burdens and sometimes yokes. The Silk Road, the Via Maris, the King's Highway. These are ancient paths the Scripture alludes to as powerful spiritual metaphors, in fact, so powerful that 650 years after our text, the Lord Jesus quotes it and says, I'm the way. I'm the path. And by me, he says, you will find rest, not for your feet and not for your animals and not for your hands, but rest for your souls. Let's read it again. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Is that what you say? Is that what you say in your heart or by your actions? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Please open our hearts and minds to the truth of this very powerful text, and I ask God that all of us in this room will be able to be focused, to listen without distraction to what you have for us. We will praise you for that. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 is a text about ancient paths, highways. You notice there it says, look at it, stand ye in the ways. Well, those are highways, not modern highways, more like beaten down footpaths and migration trails that are worn down over centuries and centuries of traffic. They are old paths. And when this prophet alludes to them, he lets us know immediately that, you know what, this image wasn't his idea at all. The first line of verse 16 says what? Thus saith the Lord. Folks, this is God himself pointing to these ancient roadways and speaking his word. And of course, this isn't the only time Jeremiah is told about these God-ordained highways. Look at verse 15 of chapter 18, or just look on the screen. Because my people hath forgotten me, they have burned incense to vanity, to empty, foolish, empty idols, and they have caused them to stumble in their ways from the ancient paths, to walk in paths in a way not cast up. That means not mapped out. It means not certified, not identified by God himself. It brings us this morning to four observations about this remarkable text and what it means, we believe, for all of the people of God. And the first thing you'll notice, number one, are the crossroads. Notice exactly, chapter 6 again, what God says, exactly what he says. Verse 16, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask. In other words, as with all journeys, beloved, there are many, many times that life itself will place us at intersections, right? This is a crossroads where you have more than one option for going somewhere. You are, as God says, standing in the ways. That's plural. So what do? Do you take the easiest road? Do you take the popular and therefore the most populated road? Do you take the one that just feels right, or it just, you know, seems right to you? And you know, I got to say, I hope it's not that. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. What do you do? What do you do when you come to the crossroads? Do you copy Huckleberry Finn? I read that book a couple times in high school. You know, remember he spit in his hand when he came up a fork in the road, and which he smacked it with his other hand, and whichever way the spit went, that was the direction he decided to go. Yogi Berra famously said, when you come to a fork in the road, take it. That's a political answer, which is really no answer at all. So again, what do you do? You know, God tells us exactly what to do when you have these ways and these choices. Verse 16, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? You say, oh, I get it, Pastor, now. You see all of these ways that are before you, and you just ask God and he will guide you. No, that's not what he says. He says, when you come to these crossroads, when you see on television or the radio or somebody comes to you and see all these different roads, stand there, see them, he says, and then ask God for something specific. Let's read it again. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, plural, and see and ask for what? Ask for the old paths. Wherein is the good way? In other words, you see that specifically. Which one of these ways, this is what you're supposed to ask for, which one of all of these options that lie before me and my wife or my children or my family or our church, you look at all these ways and specifically you say, Lord, which one is the old one? Which one is the old path? Wherein is the good path? You understand that's because the good way is the old way. And guess what? If there's a good way, there must be a bad way. And clearly, the bad way is the new way. Now, again, Jeremiah's not talking about nostalgia. He's not talking about traditions or customs, even in a church. He's talking about old paths that are old because God laid them down. It is His ancient wisdom, His eternal truth, and His unchanging word. That text again in chapter 18 and verse 15, I'm going to read it again and you can look at it. Because my people have forgotten me, they have burned incense to vanity and they've caused them to stumble in their ways from the ancient paths in order to walk in paths in a way not cast up. So again, we said number one, there is the crossroads. Stop, God says, stop. See them all. And ask God for the old one. Which one of these is the ancient old path that God Himself has laid down for His people to walk on? And then it says in verse 16, look at it, and then walk therein. Take that one. Which brings us to the second thing in the text. Number one is the crossroads. Number two are the companions. You notice the last line of verse 16 of chapter 6? And they said, but they said, we will not. They said, we will not walk therein. Well, I have a question. Who's they? And who's we? Well, folks, look, it's all of those people on all of the other paths. Having rejected the old path, having rejected the good way, they chose their own. And that is no small choice. You see chapter 6, verse 21, therefore thus saith the Lord, behold, I will lay stumbling blocks before this people. And the fathers and the sons together shall fall upon them. The neighbor and his friend shall perish. Well, guess what? That's a lot of people on the broad road to destruction, the broad and the popular roads. And here's the thing. If those are your companions, they will always take you where they are headed. When I was a youth pastor, sometimes parents would come to me about their young teenagers. And in counseling, I would get eventually, usually, to the same observation. How do I know if my daughter's in the right path? How do I know if my son is walking on the right road and so forth? And I would usually say, look, don't look at your daughter. Don't look at your son, I would say. Look at their friends, because wherever their friends are headed, that's where your kids will end up. Now, obviously, there's a lot of layers to why a teenager chooses certain friends. But most of us here, folks, we're not teenagers. And yet, God says to all of us here, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. And while that's the negative and dangerous side of not taking the old paths, there's also the glorious and the fruitful truth of when you do take the old paths. You see, folks, the reason why there are paths in the first place, and these are old, is that somebody has traveled them. And then others traveled after them, and others continue to travel them as well. Matter of fact, when I think about the Christian journey as God presents it in the Bible, and it's all through the Bible, Genesis to Revelation, always about pilgrimage or a race and a journey, I always remember that there are three groups. A, those who walk before us. Thank God for them. B, those who walk beside us. That's the people in here now. And C, all of those who are walking, the young ones, walking behind us. For Jeremiah, the ones who walked the old paths before him, they were believers like Noah and Abraham, Moses, and Abigail and Hannah. Before us includes them, but also Paul and Stephen and Mary and John and maybe your father, maybe your grandfather or your sister or your friend. We used to live near the Appalachian Trail for 4 years in the Smoky Mountains. You know, about 75 miles of it cuts through a few trailheads like Klingemann's Dome, Davenport Gap, which is all the way up to the north of the Smokies. And occasionally, when I'm going to work or making a visit, whatever, I would see a hiker in some of these trail points, and they're making this really long journey. It's 2,000 miles from tip to tip. And almost always, you see them either walking completely alone or with one companion. And you ask the guy, who's walking alone about why he's walking alone, and I'll guarantee he'll tell you that you learn real fast, either your companions will make the journey easier or they will make it impossible. In the New Testament, you read all of the beloved one another texts. It'd be a great study sometime, all of the one another texts in the epistles. You will find crystal clear that on the old paths, God never wanted his people to travel alone. That's one reason for you being in church today and those watching by live stream. If you could have been, you should have been here today. Pastor, are you saying that God wants us to take the old paths, the paths that are in this book, because those are the paths with the right companions? I almost said bingo. That's the wrong church. All right. You got it. Yes. But it's not me saying it. Proverbs 2:20, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. 1 Timothy 2:22, a wonderful text says this, follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them. With them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. You see, folks, it's not just that the new and the novel man-centered paths are shallow, and they are. It's also that their companions are. That's why they're on those paths. I'll put it to you this way. I have spent most of my life, my entire life, since I was 12, basically studying two things. This book, the Bible, and the lives and the ministries and the biographies of those who loved and lived by this book. And I have to say, it is reassuring and unashamedly so to testify that in 2025, we are walking today on the same old paths of Abraham and Jeremiah and Amos and Peter and John. Yes, and Hudson Taylor and William Carey and John Bunyan and Tyndale and Wycliffe and Adrian and Fanny Crosby and Wesley and Adoniram Judson and Rice and Truett and on it goes. And yes, Brother Desmond. And yes, Brother Wooster and John, all the Johns in here. And who else is old? Brother Sam. Amen. God bless you, Brother Sam. Brother Sam is so old, Moses signed his Bible. Social Security number is 3. Amen. I'm one to talk. I'm changing my password, Wi-Fi, actually all of them too. Quote, I can't remember. Dad, what's your password? I can't remember. Oh, that's it. That'd be easy. But seriously, I'm not ashamed. No, I'm not ashamed of the old paths, which is why I'm not ashamed of its companions either. All of them. Now, I will say, the path of Krishna, or Joseph Smith, or Muhammad, or Jim Jones, or Bethel, or Kuhlman, or Pelagius, Charles Taze Russell, I mean, the list goes on. You understand that those are all new paths, all of them. None of them are in this book. And as companions, we're not ashamed that we are not in fellowship with them. When Paul stood on Mars Hill and saw all these philosophers and all these Stoics debating their beliefs and their various roads and giving equal authority to all of the roads, they're all the same. Luke writes that, quote, all they did. Luke says, all they did was spend their time in nothing else but either to tell or hear some new thing. They were all companions of novelty. Now look, folks, there are things about God that he describes as new. His mercy is new every morning. He gives sinners a new heart. He gives believers a new spirit and a new name and a new song. And one day there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Oh, yes. All of this is true from the God who never changes. So that when it comes to truth, when it comes to wisdom, when it comes to what is right and what is wrong, if it's new, it's not true. And if it's true, it's not new. Pastor, the Supreme Court decided that homosexual marriage is okay. We don't care what the Supreme Court decided. That's a new thing. If it's new, it's not true. If it's true, it's not new, which is precisely why we have the third point in the text. Number one, the crossroads. Number two, the companions. Number three, I want you to notice the comfort. Verse 16, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein. And what happens if you do that, beloved? And ye shall find rest for your souls. Again, as we noted, our Lord Jesus quoted this text. Because as the ultimate companion, Jesus isn't like a travel agent. The Lord Jesus doesn't just get all your appointments and the maps and your details in order and then sends you on your way. Not at all. When you travel the old path, He goes with you. The Lord Jesus travels with you, and you'll notice that the picture that He gives was that of a yoke. It is a collar that connects you closely to the Lord Jesus Christ. But Pastor, I don't see how I can be close to Christ like that with a yoke. And Brother Juan, way down in Sao Paulo, can be close to Christ as well. How can that happen? Simple. We are both on the same old path. I saw the moon last night. Did you see it? It was beautiful. It was bright, orange, big in the sky. And Ruth said, yeah, I saw it. You saw it in Port St. Lucie. And if you folks over there, if you saw it down in Loxahatchee or Miami, you saw the same moon that I did. Not because we're big, but because the moon is big. And the nearness and closeness that you are promised to our Lord, as you travel on, only travel on the old path, His path provides the greatest rest in all of the universe. It is rest for your own soul. Pastor, I got the MyPillow, and I got the best night's sleep in the whole world. Sleep well, America. Okay. But the real rest, the one that really matters, is if you are restful in your soul. The wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest. The new paths, I'm telling you, the Bible's telling you, God is telling you, all of these new paths, there is no comfort there for your soul. In the 1960s, when Hollywood adopted all of these Eastern religions, these mystic stuff, and the Beatles made it popular, and then they started adopting the psychiatry of the world, bringing all of that into the soul, it didn't do them one bit of good. They became more psychotic. No rest for your souls on the new paths. Which brings us to the fourth thing. The crossroads, the companions, the comfort, number four, there is the choice. Let's go back to verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where's the good way? And walk therein. And ye shall find rest for your souls. Look at the last line. But they said, we will not walk therein. Wait a minute. They looked at God. They looked at God's word and the old paths, and they said, no thanks. I'll pass. They actually chose another way because it was their own way. That's what they did. And it's not unlike what some of you in this room or watching by live stream are contemplating right now. You know, there's an interesting command from our Lord at the very beginning of this promise. Look again at verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see. Now think about that. He says, stand, stop. That means stop. And then he says, see. Stand there and look. Stop and look. I was telling someone this week, someone listening right now, and I said, look. They were talking about how their life is like a movie. I said, you see your life as a movie. Okay. Let's stop right now for a minute then and play that movie all the way to the end. Finish the movie. In fact, all of you in this room right now, in your mind, sometime this week, you stop. Finish the movie. Staying on the road that you have chosen, how does your movie end? The road that you're on, you young people, the road that you're choosing to be on, how does all of it end? You know, the old path, the Bible says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, and wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. We know how that movie ends. There are folks in here who have been married 60, 70 years. We see how that movie ends. But the new path, that some of you have chosen, oh, it ends differently, and it is not rest for your souls. The old path says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Never neglect the right companions on the right path because you are faithful to His church. We've seen how that movie ends. But those other ways, the new paths right now, there's no rest for the soul. It is a lesson of choice. Ben and I were traveling last week. Had to come back a little early. Might travel again next week or the next two or so. We use Apple Maps. I do. And many of you in this room use Apple or Google Maps. And of course, you can choose the accent or the dialect. I got tired of listening to that same lady tell me what to do. So I got this guy who's Scottish or Irish. I'm not even sure what it is. So driving down 95, I'm coming to the correct off-ramp, and it'll say, at 200 yards, take the exit. And as it gets closer, it'll repeat it, take the exit. And if I keep driving, it'll say, proceed to the next exit. And of course, that simply means get off the wrong road and get on the right one. For some of you, the Holy Spirit has been telling you for a while, take the exit. Stop traveling on your own way and start traveling on His way, which is the old path, which is the good way, where you will find rest for your souls. For those others of you in this room, can I just admonish you? Listen to Jeremiah. This is his path. Stay until God takes you home, until God takes us all home, until this whole church is raptured to glory. I know not everybody will be raptured. Mitch, you can have my car for your birthday. Until all of that happens, stay on the old path. Don't follow for novel new stuff for novel's sake. Take His yoke upon you. He's on the old path. He's the Ancient of Days. The Bible stands and it will forever when the world has passed away. By inspiration, it has been given all its precepts to obey. And God's people said, our heads are bowed, please, for a moment. I don't know what your need is this morning. I really don't. And God is my witness. I have not one person, not one name, not one face in mind when He brought me to these truths and these messages and as we gave them. My heart was convicted as much as anything. But I know that Jeremiah stood up before a disobedient and rebellious people. They were his, God's people. And they were stiff-necked and rebellious and disobedient, and judgment was coming. In fact, God said, the ones that are on the wrong path, I'm putting stumbling blocks. They shall all perish. And I know this message that God gave to Jeremiah is timeless. Jesus quoted it when He said, take my yoke upon you, and you shall find rest for your souls. That's the old path. The old path is God's word, God's will, God's way, which is only given in this book. Anything outside this book, that's a new path, and it's wrong. Pastor Blaylock, I'm here today, and I'm a believer by the grace of God. But as a Christian, I needed the message this morning, and as a Christian, God has spoken to my heart about something. With heads bowed and eyes closed, who would say that? Would you lift your hands through the building as God's people and amen and amen? God did not say, when you come to the ways, stop, look at them all, and pray for one of the ways, whichever one you should take. Nope. He said, when you're presented with different ways, different worldviews, different ways to travel your entire life, you stop, you look at them, and you ask God which one is the old one. Because that's not as hard to find. The old one is the one that all of the great saints in the Bible and the great believers and saints God used through history, they have all traveled. It's well worn. Ask God to show you that. For many in this room, and perhaps watching by live stream, can I just say this? Biblically speaking, if you're not saved, if you've never been born again, you're not even on the path. You're not on the journey of Christ at all. And to you, I would say today is the day of salvation. If you've never been saved, never accepted Christ as Savior, please do that today. I admonish you, I warn you, I encourage you. to open your heart to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to pray in a moment and have a time of invitation. Before we do that, let me ask you this. How many of you might say, yes, that's me, Pastor. I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not going to come and embarrass you or anything. Maybe you're watching at home. I'm not sure if I died today, I'd be in heaven. Will you pray for me that I could be sure that I'm saved? Anybody like that? Would you lift your hand high enough where we can see it? Hold it up there. And at home as well. God bless you. Amen. We're going to have a time of invitation after we pray. And if God has spoken to your heart, Brother Andy will be here at the front if you will need to speak with someone. Maybe it's joining the church or a public decision like baptism, whatever it is. But for sure, if you're not sure you're saved, talk to Brother Andy. And for sure, if you're a believer and the Holy Spirit's reminding you or nudging you to go one way or the other, then use this time to do business with the Lord. Father, thank you for your word today. And Lord, as your people on this Lord's Day, we are not ashamed of the old paths. Because you laid them down. We are not ashamed, Father, of those who trod on those old paths. Because they followed you. And they too were yoked with your Son, Christ. May we be faithful to recognize how firm a foundation is this, your word. And may we put our feet on it always as we travel. Thy word is a lamp unto our feet, thy word is a light under our path, and may we walk it. Bless these who have asked a prayer now, Lord, please, in Jesus' precious name, amen.